Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Now back to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Jim Smerlatt is on our VIP line. He's got his Timeline 25 series going on right now at 104.3thefan.com. Remembering the top Denver sports stories over the last 25 years, you are on 1999, James. So I must ask you, because in looking back when Elway hung up the cleats, and I say this not as an Elway homer, not as someone who has Elway saying my name as his ringtone, but as someone who knows this game and loves this game, do you think, like I do, that the Broncos could have won three had Elway come back?
Yeah.
You know, maybe be limited in training camp or whatever, you know what I mean? Do you think they could have had the only three-peat in NFL history if Elway came back in 1999?
Yeah, without a doubt, because then, you know, it essentially would have been the entire team coming back. I mean, TD was still there, Sharp was there, McCaffrey, Smith. I mean, everybody else was there. The other part of that, Cecil, that I think would have been important is if Elway comes back, you know, I think Bubby Brister's the backup quarterback at that point. They don't make the switch to Brian Greasy. So, you know, the year before, Elway didn't start four games. Brister won all four. Elway missed part of, you know, a couple other games, and Brister was fine. So, you know, I think they could have gone into it with that same kind of setup where, you know, you can lighten John's load a little bit, certainly in training camp, preseason, no reason for him to play essentially at all. Yeah, I do. I think they could have they were the best team in the league by far the year before. Minnesota was pretty darn good offensively, but,
right,
you know, you start 13-0, the best start since the 72 Dolphins. You kind of like – it's a little bit like the watching The Last Dance, right? It's like, I kind of like to get the band back together and just see.
Right?
So James, yeah, tell me this, because your timeline got me to thinking. If Terrell Davis doesn't get injured on trying to track down and tackle the defender, what happens to the Denver Broncos as a team that year, and what actually happens with Terrell Davis? We know he's a Hall of Famer, but what happens to the remaining of his career if that injury is avoided?
Well, I think that year they were still going to be bad. You know, they were 0-3 heading into the game when he got hurt, 0-4 by the end of that day. So it's not as though they were going anywhere. I mean, they were struggling with a quarterback who essentially hadn't played at all prior to, you know, week one against Miami. So I think that year was going to still be lost. But the following year, if memory serves, you know, Mike Anderson comes in as a rookie, has a great year.
Right.
Greasy has a very good year. Gus Frerotte fills in and does a nice job. So, you know, with that offense clicking, you know, Mike Anderson was a nice back, but he wasn't TD. So I think they would have been even better. And who knows what they could have done that year. You know, they went to Baltimore and lost in the playoffs 21-3. But if TD's there, it's a different deal. Maybe you're not having to travel and go on the road. And, you know, he's already a Hall of Famer. He already owns every record in the Broncos books. But I think he puts up numbers to get him, I don't know, in the top 10 rushers of all time, that kind of thing. He played a couple more years after that, but he just was never the same back. He just didn't have the same look. So he still had a great career. He could have had a truly remarkable career had he not gotten hurt. But, you know, there's a little bit of it of it's, you know, again, kind of like with The Last Dance and with Elway walking away and with TD getting hurt. I think part of what adds to people's lore is when they maybe did have a little bit left, and it all leaves us to wonder, well, what could it have been? Because you don't want it to be Johnny U and Joe Namath and guys going out on, you know, their last leg, so to speak. So not that you wish injury upon anybody, but I think it does kind of add to it of we saw him in his prime, we saw him at his best, and then we are all kind of left to extrapolate. Well, what could have happened if Matt Lepsis hadn't rolled up his knee? You know, we'll never know, but he certainly would have been a, you know, 10,000-11,000 yard rusher in his career. He would have put up even better numbers, monster type numbers. But we got to see those three special seasons, which that was as good a run as pretty much any back has ever had.
Yeah, especially when you add in the postseason. James Merrillat going over Timeline 25 at 1043thefan.com. The series that James is writing, going through the top Denver sports stories the last 25 years. And, James, I guess I ask this with all the greatest respect to Mike Shanahan. But you mentioned that switch to Greasy and just the split of the locker room, the lack of preparation, just the mishandling of it. Which was greater, the mishandling of that, the Greasy situation, or the mishandling of the Jay Cutler, Jake Plummer situation in your eyes?
Wow, that's a good one. That's an honest debate.
Well, and you're going to get to the timeline. When you get to Timeline 25 and you get to that, I mean, that is that's a hell of a conversation, man. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give the mishandling of Greasy and Brister, I'm going to give it the nod, simply because that was a championship caliber team. I mean,
right.
You know, the Plummer team was coming off of a AFC championship game, not too far in the rearview mirror, so it's not like they weren't good. But, you know, you had a veteran-laden team. It was a championship team. Basically, everybody was back but the quarterback, and Brister, like I said, was 4-0 with that group the year before. So I think the smart thing would have been, you know, start the year with Brister. If you're rolling, great. You keep it going. If you're not, well, mid-season, pull the plug and go ahead and get the kids, get the young guys, get the future some reps. I mean, it's kind of the Drew Locke scenario from this past year of, yeah, you start with Flacco, see how it goes. And, you know, we were saying it by week five, week six this past year. Hey, you know, if he wasn't on IR, it'd be time to go with the kid because we're seeing that this isn't working. That's what they should have done with Brister and Greasy. You know, the Plummer situation, boy, that's close, though, because they were really good. Plummer was probably a much better quarterback than Brister was. But, you know, Jay was a more talented guy than Greasy, too. So I can see why they made that move. What made the Plummer-Cutler thing so mishandled is they were 7-2 and lost. And then they were playing at Kansas City on Thanksgiving night. It was the first ever night game on Thanksgiving. It was the first time they played three games. So they're 7-3 heading into that game, but Adam Schefter reported before the game that Jay was going to start, you know, 11 days later. So you're going into a nationally televised game, you're 7-3, and your quarterback knows he's, you know, dead man walking. Not surprisingly, they lost that game, fell to 7-4, and wound up 9-7. So that was the other part of it. You know, don't let it get broke in the media. Don't let it get broke before you guys even play the game where Plummer's going to have his last game. It would have been certainly a lot easier had they lost to Kansas City to announce it, you know, the day after, and then it would have even made some more sense. So that was the mishandling of it. As he made his decision and let it get out in the media, that was pretty bad.
James, we had Ryan Clady on yesterday, and we were talking about Garrett Bowles, and listening to his comments, it appeared from his standpoint that Garrett is not as bad off as most people may think. Have you somewhat changed and danced to a different tune, or are you still thinking, like many others, that Garrett Bowles is definitely the weakest link on the Broncos' offensive line?
Well, I mean, to some extent, I'm with Ryan Clady on this one. I mean, I was one of the people who was saying, hey, they're not going to take a tackle in the draft, and that was partially because of what all they'd invested in Juwan James and Garrett Bowles. It was partially of, hey, I think the Broncos think he's better than the fans do and the media does. And, you know, he was pretty darn good in the last five games. So, you know, is he the weakest link? Well, we got to figure out who's playing center and who's playing right guard. You know, where does Glasgow go? And then, you know, is it Cushenberry at center, Glasgow at right guard? Probably. But is Garrett Bowles better than a rookie center? I sure as heck hope so. you know, and then if Juwan James can't play and it's Elijah Wilkinson out there, you know, we saw last year that was an adventure. So I don't think Garrett Bowles is necessarily the weak link on this offensive line. I think he plays a position that, you know, normally on the offensive line, you kind of blend in unless you're getting called for a penalty. Left tackle, you're a little bit out there on an island, so you can stand out for bad plays on sacks. And then obviously the penalties that he's had, it's, you know, it became comical at times. But I think that the penalties get too much attention because I'm hard pressed last year to think of a lot of plays where he just got beat really badly. And I certainly can't think of any games where, you know, he was like Michael Schofield or Tyson Brilo, where they're just getting abused by Khalil Mack and Vic Beasley, and it's a 4 or 5 sack game, and it's just like, oh my gosh, get him out of there for his own good. You know, maybe I'm in the minority here, but I'll take my left tackle taking a holding penalty every once in a while if it saves my quarterback from getting drilled. They just didn't have anybody back there that could overcome a negative play. I mean, it was a team that second 19, you might as well punt. I mean, they weren't going to get it. You know, now that they have a quarterback who can make some plays, and we saw it in the Houston game where, you know, he Garrett Bowles got called for what I think was a pretty weak call. It called back a Phillip Lindsay touchdown. You know, normally it would have been field goal time at that point. Instead, Drew Lock hits Noah Fant down the little skinny post for a touchdown on the next play. Okay, well, no big deal. The penalty wasn't that huge because you had somebody who could make a play. So it all kind of ties together in terms of why he looked bad. And part of it was, again, with, you know, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Trevor Siemian, whoever we want to put in there, a holding penalty or a personal foul or anything like that was just an absolute drive killer. So hopefully that won't, hopefully he cuts down on the penalty day, and B, hopefully it won't be the case again this year with Drew Lock back there.
Outside of the penalties, which are god-awful, the only, like, get him out of there moment that I remember of Garrett Bowles is one that Trevor Siemian probably doesn't remember because Melvin Ingram almost ended his life. It's been a while for Garrett Bowles, so keep it that way. We don't need any quarterbacks getting banged up. It's James Merrillat, 1043thefan.com. Sign up for that Denver Sports Daily. Hot and fresh every morning right to your inbox. Top Denver sports news around Denver Sports Daily. It's free. Sign up for our daily newsletter Monday through Friday, 1043thefan.com. James, be good, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks. Enjoyed it.
Okay. There we have him. That was a I saw you shaking your head, Nick, when James was talking about the Plummer-Cutler decision and just how good you guys were and how close you guys were.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that game vividly because I got a chance to watch it from my sofa. Because I was injured the week
before. You were
hurt.
Yes. Yeah.
In the Chargers game. And I remember telling my wife that I knew something was really wrong because I saw something on the television I had never seen before. And that was Jake Plummer with this really fiery, feisty attitude. And he and Coach Shanahan were going back and forth on the sideline. I was just like, man, the end is near. And I never thought I would see it coming. And that's when Cutler took over. And at that point, man, we still, you know, were a good team, but things went south. And I'm sure that is the decision. If you ask Mike Shanahan, if you were to look back on your career and you can change a couple of things, I'm sure that would be one of them.
Right. Right. Okay. We've got to talk about this Twitter beef between a superstar and a okay player. But perhaps putting too much value into off-season polls. Why it started this Twitter beef, who and what, when, we'll tell you next.
Garrett Bolt is the weakest link.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.